Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Kim Clijsters, yeah, she was my idol. Like, I wanted to be like...
But she was a hardcore player, wasn't she?
Yeah, so was I.
Yeah.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on every Premier League game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
You're welcome back. Now, at the top of the show, we were saying that it's a pretty tasty lineup for the Euro 2025 quarterfinals. We've got Sweden, England tomorrow at 8 o'clock. It's Spain against the host Switzerland on Friday night, and then it's France, Germany on Saturday night. Right now, we are 57 minutes deep in Geneva between Norway and Italy. Italy have just taken a 1-0 lead, and I'm delighted to say that Hibs and Ireland midfielder Ciara Grant is with us on the line. Ciara, how are you doing?
I'm not too bad now. Thanks for having me on.
This is a bit of a surprise, is it?
I don't know. The way Norway have been playing this tournament, like, they've kind of got, you know, last minute goals to get them through. They really haven't looked like a team that's playing well or playing together. And it honestly baffles me for the amount of world-class players they have on that pitch and experienced world-class players. Something's just not working for them.
This is not the first time this has happened to Norway at a major tournament.
No, it's not. And even Hegerberg as well, you know, stepping away from international football for a long time as well because she wasn't happy with how things were being run and have obviously come back in. But I don't know if those changes haven't really gelled yet for the players or there's still a lot of maybe animosity between the players and the association, but something just doesn't seem right for them.
We don't want to speak too soon either because A, there are 32 minutes left in this game and B, it looks like Norway have a penalty. So we'll let you know how that goes. But I have seen the odds collapse considerably because Italy were brilliant in that first half.
Mm-hmm. And then Norway kind of started coming into it near the end of probably from the 40 minutes to the 45th. And I can't pronounce that young girl's name, but who nearly chipped the keeper from the halfway line as well. Terrible time to concede a goal, but also then keeps Italy in it. They come back out, nil all, get the goal. And honestly, I'm enjoying Italy because I feel like, you know, the Italian men are so enjoyable to watch. They've been, you know, been in and around the top tier of European football for a long time, but the women have kind of fallen off, which is when I was younger, the Italians are always very good. But I think with them professionalising their league over there, they have a lot of players playing in Italy. I think you can see that on the pitch as well, and they seem to be playing quite well together and playing some nice football. So I'd actually love for them to win.
Yeah, it's amazing how the national identity of a sports nation just is so clear when you look at tournaments like this, because as Hegerberg steps up and she's missed a penalty, she's hit it to the right and wide, her second missed penalty this tournament. Didn't even hit the target. I'll get a closer look on replay, but I think she's missed it to the right hand side. That is an absolute shocker. But I was just going to make the point, Ciara, I'm just going to watch this replay first. Miles wide, terrible penalty from Hegerberg. I was literally just about to make the point that the national identities that we associate with these footballing countries, naturally largely informed by the men's team, seems to have maintained, certainly in this matchup, where Norway, even on the men's side of things, have been flaky relative to their insane level of available talent. And Italy, the exact opposite. You write Italy off at the start of a tournament, they'll come along with a team quite often filled with players that we're not overly au fait with, and they go deep into a competition and quite often win it. It seems that the women have the same thing about them.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't know, you know, you need your big players that are step up in big tournaments, and her missing that penalty the second of the tournament, is that a sign of what's going on behind the doors? I don't know. But for the Italians, yeah, I just love it. The passion, the style, the aggression that they play with. It's incredible to watch. And I think that underdog ethos, even for them, probably coming into the tournament, you know, feeds into their culture of football. I hope it goes their way now for the next half an hour.
As I say, some really interesting quarterfinals coming up. Sweden versus England tomorrow should be really, really interesting. England, obviously, after losing the opening game of the tournament, are kind of angry at the moment, but they come up against a team with serious pedigree in Sweden. Can he make a case for the underdog in this one, or are England carving out a path to the final?
I think it's so hard because before the tournament started, you probably would have put Sweden as the underdogs against, you know, the reigning champions. But then that first game performance had everybody kind of out in England from the start. I think I actually got them in the sweepstake in my club here.
Right.
And I'm like, what is going on? I thought that was a guaranteed final. But then the second game, you know, they really step it up, show what they can do. Their subs coming on in both the last two games, showing the calibre and depth of squad they have. I think that maybe just scared them that first game and turned a switch in all their heads to really step it up. Now, Wales obviously weren't the best competition for them, prepping them for the quarters to really show what they're going to be like now against another big team. But to push aside the Dutch 4-0 is, you know, that's no easy feat. So I do think England will be favourites. But again, Sweden have a lot of good players, a lot of experienced players, and also beat Germany well. That's near impossible. The Germans usually only lose by one or two goals. So I think it's going to be a really exciting game and quite evenly matched.
Lucy Bronze was really interesting this week. She's talking about the pressure that every player at the European Championships feels in terms of their performance because of the boost that the entire sport receives as a result of success. Like she kind of made it more in the context of what the Swiss must be feeling as hosts of this tournament. Maybe kind of pointing to what they were feeling at the start of this tournament as well. They had such a level of success 3 years ago, and that success was credited as one of the reasons why the sport itself has boomed over the last 3 years. So that is quite a responsibility to be carrying on your team's shoulders going into a tournament.
It is, and I would guess that they probably didn't feel that at the last Euros because it was the start of all this. Whereas the attention that they got pre and post last Euros was night and day. And yes, the momentum, the investment, the build, the WSL, even here in Scotland, all across Europe has really started since then. So now maybe that they've seen that come, then they go into this tournament as favourites, but also kind of maybe holding that pressure on them a little bit. But again, Lucy Bronze is an extremely experienced player and maybe is kind of coming to that more sense because she's at the end of her career. You know, maybe there's a few more years left, so maybe she is reflecting on her entire career and how big the game has got and what she has done for the game. So maybe she was talking a little bit about herself, but also the tournament. And I think for the Swiss, you know, Lea Valti, her Instagram posts, her comments, they really come from the heart. And again, a player in her 30s who's probably come from maybe very poor support from the Swiss to now hosting the Euros and getting to the quarterfinals. Like, it is really a dream come true for them. And they probably hope that will then reflect on football in Switzerland like it did for England.
It seems they're doing a pretty good job as host. It's like, I mean, attendance figures are in a really good position. I think we had, certainly I had kind of written off the boost in figures that were likely to happen because there was no Wembley, there was no mega stadium in this tournament, but actually the baseline has just gone up to a whole new level over the course of this tournament, and it hasn't hurt whatsoever that there's been plenty of drama and some really good quality.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the location of Switzerland, it's perfect. I actually was there in the summer and I was like, oh, sure, you know, half an hour, 2 hours in every direction, you're in a different country. So I think that even like the Italians today, like the crowd they have there is massive because it's not far for the Italians to actually get to the games. So I do think the location is perfect for Euros. Like it's very central and it is great. And yeah, I think even in the early stages of the group games, there was full houses nearly. And Switzerland is a beautiful country. So even for the players, I know they definitely, I don't know if you noticed in the first few games, I thought the quality of the games were quite poor. And I don't know if that was the heat. Like, the heat was very, very hot. And I felt like the pace of the game, like some of the mistakes the players were making were very, like, not the standard they would hold themselves to. So I think the location was perfect, but the temperature definitely affected, I'd say, the first few games.
Hegerberg has just made amends for it. She has equalised for Norway. A lovely breakdown, the right-hand side, one of those where the keeper comes out to her, just not quick enough. She manages to poke the ball under the keeper's legs, and then two Italian defenders come flying back and they're just too slow to get there as well. It's probably going to take a couple of seconds for this to be confirmed because she's right on the offside line, but it looks like she's just onside, Hegerberg, to have made amends. They'd just taken Manum off before that. I don't know, you'd know more than I would, Kier, but is Frieda Manum not somebody you want on the pitch if you're seeking a goal?
I thought she would be somebody you definitely want on the pitch because she's often scores from quite far out as well. So she might not give you those runs in behind, but maybe because the Italians are closing them so fast, the manager might have just gone for a change of tactics there, maybe bringing on some speed, trying to move the Italians a bit more. But I highly rate Frieda Manum. But again, if she's not playing that well today, then maybe it's just time for a sub.
Yeah, totally fair. So that's Hegerberg's second goal of the tournament in three matches. So it's Norway 1, Italy 1, 67 minutes on the clock there. Just to go back to England, one of the big questions that we had after the opening day of the tournament from their perspective was just their midfield athleticism, power, mobility, it was all a bit of a disaster. Has the shifting away of Lauren James actually helped and fixed everything, or is there still massive concerns in that department for you?
I don't know. I think, yeah, they're even from stature, like, they're not the biggest players, but they are flair players. I think Lauren James needs to be, like, away from the centre of attention on the pitch. I don't think she needs to be given a defensive role, a running role. I think she needs to be one of those players where you almost have to fit your team around her to give her as much freedom in attack as you can, because when Lauren James has the ball, she is near impossible to get the ball off, and the things she creates, the things she sees. So it's not only her own skill, but it's also the things she's creating for the players around her, I think is really important. I think that clicked a bit more in the last two games. I think Stanway's also her... performances have improved. And I think, again, just the rotation that Wiegmann... I know she's known for starting the same team, playing the own team, but her subs, I think, have been really impactful, and I think that is allowing them a bit more strength in the midfield as well.
So when it comes to the lineup that she's going to go with tomorrow night, you don't necessarily expect anything to change too much. So it was Russo, Hemp, James kind of on the right, and then you've got Walsh, Stanway, Toon. Is that basically the front six, so to speak, that she'll go with tomorrow night?
I think so. I think Walsh will never change. Stanway's definitely, as I said, has improved. And I think Toon coming in, I don't know, maybe she looked pretty angry that she hadn't started the first game. So I think she's really stepped up as well. But even having Beaver Jones on the bench, like, she's an engine that can come on. She hasn't been given much game time, but it's not a bad replacement too if they need a bit more legs in there. But Ella Toon, Stanway, even for their small, slight statures, like, they work hard and they tackle hard. So, and I think that then allows Ciara Walsh to kind of concrete herself as a six for what they say in the UK, and let the other two kind of go and attack.
How would Ireland have got on in that group?
I know, I've been thinking about this the last week. It's sad watching, because I know one of the girls in the Wales team, so I was secretly supporting them. But it was sad not seeing Ireland there. Obviously, it was an extremely tough group. You've got three huge oppositions. But the results Wales had against them, do I think Ireland would have lost as much? Absolutely not. I think Ireland would have competed a bit more. We've had, you know, half decent results against those three teams over the last 4 years, and have proven that we can compete at the top level there. You know, but at the end of the day, we didn't qualify. And I know a lot of the girls will be hard watching, I'd say, that group stage.
Yeah, because there does seem to be an acceleration, all right, of a couple of the teams in that group. Like, even that France team at the moment, they look like they've made a step up from the France team that we played in the Nations League.
I think so. And I think, you know, even athleticism, the first two French games, especially the first one against Wales, I know that might be direct comparisons, but the French just looked like they were having fun, and the speed, the strength, the play, like, it was incredible to watch. But it did look like a lot stronger team than we have faced recently. And again, with very talented subs coming off the bench.
What way are you calling this now at this point? Like, does the victor of this game, for example, give you pause for thought, or actually you think to yourself it's going to be, quote unquote, some of the bigger women's football nations that are actually going to make up the finalists?
I'll give you my four semi-finalists. Okay. I think it's going to be Spain, France, England and Italy.
And England, Italy, who's going to win that?
I think Italy will win that. And God, Spain and France is a hard one to call because two very different football styles. I'd like to call France.
Yeah. Okay, very interesting.
It would be very interesting. But again, Spain have so much experience in the last few years of just getting things over the line too. So I don't know. I know I need to call. I'll go France, England final.
Okay, right. Okay, well, I hope your Italian take lasts at least longer than 20 minutes from now as this game develops. I did want to ask you about your own situation. Pre-season coming up soon after a great end to last season, or you're not thinking about that for now?
We're in second week, because we have Champions League qualifying round at the middle of August. So they just brought us in a wee bit earlier, but still gave us a good break. Although some of my friends playing the championship in England are still off after a very long break. But no, we've come back, started exactly as we ended last year. Preseason's been really good, really good grouping again. They've been running us hard, working us hard. But no, we're excited. We're headed to Florida now in 2 weeks' time to play Jacksonville, one of the new you know, the alternative league in America and the new league that started. We're playing them in a friendly. So that's going to recreate kind of how hot it's going to be in Cyprus for us. So it's like the perfect preparation. Although I think the humidity, our goalkeeper Noah is American, and she says it's like running underwater with that humidity. So
wow.
Yeah, I must text Denise and ask her how she gets. But yeah, no, a very exciting year ahead. And I don't know if you've heard, but this year in Europe, there's going to be a Europa League for women's. So if we just win one of those games out of that early stage qualifiers, we're guaranteed European football with Europa qualifiers. So we're kind of lucky in a sense, because from next year, it's going to be third place in the Scottish League that directly qualify for Europa.
It underlines how important this clash is with the Cypriot side as well. They are champions of the Cyprus League, are they?
They are, yeah. And so we're actually playing the Danish team, Fortuna. The Cypriot team are playing the Swiss champions.
Okay.
But three, you know, good teams that have all been in around Champions League for quite a while. Fortuna, Herring, Roma McLaughlin, actually from Donegal, played for them for a season. So I'll be messaging her too, trying to get this us. But they've made it to the last 16 of Champions League before as well. So they're going to be a good team.
Talk to us about the celebrations at the end of last season. Are we talking multi-day or are we talking multi-week?
I can tell you for one thing that the Scots are like the Irish, but they don't play as hard as the Irish. But no, it was great. And yeah, we all went back to Easter Road afterwards and they had a big function on at the club and stuff. So it was brilliant. But it was the end of a 3-game week. So I think a lot of people were tired. A few of the girls actually booked a last minute trip away and stuff. So it was great. And I think just how we won it, everything, it was just brilliant. I don't think you could have wrote how it was going to go down to the last game. And the pressure that we had on us too, because if we had lost that game and City won, which they did, we could have finished third and not qualified for Europe at all.
Jeez, it was an insane end to the season.
It was. But to win at Ibrox was pretty sweet. And I had the family in the stand and stuff. So it was a nice day. Nice weekend all around.
Happy days. Did you go full Katie McCabe on it?
No, I did not.
Right. I don't think many people could, to be fair. Listen, Ciara, it's been great chatting to you, but very best of luck with pre-season and most importantly the Champions League title is coming up, and who knows where that's going to lead to. The Europa League obviously is there this season as well, as you mentioned, so hopefully a long European journey. Appreciate your time this evening.
Yeah, thank you very much. All the best now.
Cheers. That's Ciara Grant on the line of Hibs and of Ireland.